Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. Every other week, Robert travels long distance to come to this part of the planet and to share with us and to contribute to our program, Studio Plus, for the career building knowledge.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, indeed. This is our career builder segment. All right, welcome to the show again. And actually, look forward to this opportunity to talk to you or with you every other week.
Yeah.
Today, very interesting topic chosen. Can you introduce it to us first?
Absolutely. So we thought that when you've built your career, you've got your job, which are topics we've covered in the past. The brightest and the best of the young intake will be chosen and picked out pretty quickly as leaders. So we thought we would take on the topic today of the trials and tribulations and the do's and don'ts of leadership for young managers as a practical topic for our listeners, and to try and give them plenty of takeaway information that they can go ahead and use today.
I'm pretty sure, there are a lot of young managers are listening to us.
Great stuff.
Definitely.
Good to hear.
And I call them top seeds.
Right. That's a good.
Because they haven't fully grown. Right. But they are growing.
Yeah.
Okay. You were chosen, right, to lead.
Yeah.
What do you think are the difficulties that these young managers are facing?
Well, I think young managers face a lot of difficulties, and I think the way you introduced that point is correct. I think that actually it's often you're chosen through circumstance and situation rather than people actively choosing, say, putting their hand up and saying, I want to be the leader or manager of something. I think the biggest challenge for young managers is the fact that there is now a difference in the relationship with their peer group. Mm. And if they are now managing people that they were previously peers of, there is a red line in the sand to deal with. So that's probably the most difficult thing, I would say.
I think it's very interesting because, managers are rarely friends with their subordinates, but yet they're the same age. Would that cause any sort of friction? Because you can't really hang out with them on the weekend anymore, almost feels
like. See, the same question actually comes to my mind, is that because there are young, promoted leaders come to me, I'm a little bit senior, and I have seen them growing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And during the process, they started to lose friendship.
Oh.
I mean, like,
how do you fix this problem? I want to grow.
Yeah.
Because I stand out, and somehow if the expression is not appropriate, I'm leaving my peers behind, but at the same time, you still want to be treated equally. Like you said, we want to hang out together,
I'm more optimistic on that one.
Really?
And for this reason, that if you truly are friends with the people, the former peers that you're with, that we're talking about, then, and you have a relationship based on respect, then surely they have a duty to respect your new elevation to whichever position it is, and you have a duty to respect their feelings at that notion. So I think if both sides deal with it in a kind of respectful way, and non-emotional way. And also, the way I like to see management and leadership is a circular sort of style. So the manager is in the middle of a circle, if you like, first amongst equals, rather than the top of a pyramid, as is often the case.
You can actually still treat each other spiritually equal.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I usually put my sort of advice to them. I said, don't panic, don't worry, because there are worries, obviously, especially among the young managers.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my long-cherished friendship, right?
Mm.
But I said, actually, this is the moment to test the true friendship.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Tested the friendship.
Yeah. You know?
If true friendship will stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After years, just don't worry.
Yeah.
To let time tell.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Whether somebody's going to remain your friend or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's true.
That's one question.
Just to cut in briefly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I think a big theme of, young managers, just following on from what you were saying, is self-doubt, really. It's almost creating problems, you know, it's anticipating, you know, will these people still be my friends? Can I still operate? And the answer, in many ways, we were just talking about it in the car on the way to the studio. There's a funny skit on, YouTube with Bob somebody or other, who pretends to be a therapist, and a lady comes into his therapy room and says, talks about her problems of, claustrophobia. And the answer to this lady is, stop it! So, and in some senses, I would say the same thing with self-doubt. Stop it! Stop having self-doubt! There's no need! You know, just quit doing it.
Yeah, but don't you think confidence comes not easily? You know, confidence comes from years of experience accumulation, knowledge accumulation, and even years of experiences in leadership.
Yeah. Well, what I say to people is, to build confidence, is take a small calculated risk every day, and it's amazing how quickly your confidence will grow. And measure it and look back, you know, 3 months ago at your level of feeling of esteem and confidence and see how it changes.
I think this advice will also do. If you feel short of all the skills because you're growing, you're young, you're growing, you're still learning, face the reality that you are not fully grown yet.
Absolutely.
You are learning yourself.
For sure.
And don't... You know, always put yourself in a superior. I'm
right.
Leading others. I should be better.
Yeah.
I should be better than peers. No, that's not
absolutely
necessarily
right.
So, right?
And I think you that's an excellent point. And one of the things I drop into conversations with my colleagues and team is that the very fact, and I state this explicitly, that I'm far from perfect and I make mistakes all of the time, which is true, by the way, because I'm not trying to be disingenuous. You know, I really do make mistakes all the time. Anyone who tries to do anything does. And I think it's half the battle of a manager is to create a culture where it's okay. A mistake is okay. It's just simply a behavior where there are other choices rather than it's something wrong with a person.
Mm-hmm. And what about, yes, you have the right attitude.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean the young manager.
Sure, sure.
But your peers are very defensive.
Yeah.
Because they kind of at the very initial, you know, you haven't proved yourself. We are talking about the initial, maybe 1 year, half a year or 1 year. You try to lead and then your peers are so defensive. They don't want to listen to you.
Yeah.
They're making things sort of more difficult. How to deal with such a situation?
Yeah. Well, I think, the late Corvey has it right in his Seven Habits, book. You know, it's if you listen to people, you will be listened to. So give opportunities, create opportunities where you can listen to what other people have got to say, and they'll probably listen to you more readily.
So don't give up.
No, exactly.
We said how, and don't be bitter.
No, of course not.
You
keep
know,
smiling.
Yeah, it's just don't indulge in your being treated wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I deserve more friendship.
Yeah,
I deserve
yeah.
to be treated better or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's a negative sort of psychology.
Exactly.
Over there. We'll be back soon.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun.
Something more.
Studio Plus.
All right, you're listening to Career Builder on China on Studio Plus, and here in the studio is Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. Today, we contribute our airtime to the growth of young managers, and just now we talked about how you position yourself amongst your peers at the beginning of being promoted to lead the team. Mm. But now the question goes, okay, just trust them, listen to them, support them, don't give up, you know, face the reality that you're not above, your team. But I usually a young manager faces seniors too. Senior people like me, you know, sometimes have, I've been through all the lead, you know, managing sort of period of time and come to a prime age of having a lot of accumulated experiences and skills in the job or whatever. So if some seniors are being, you know, hard to lead, and how can the young leader, you know, what sort of ways, means and ways for young managers to deal with someone who's seemingly difficult? You know, not abiding by all the decisions that she or he has already made for the team.
That's an interesting, interesting question.
Do you have senior or, you know, experts in your team who's seemingly better than yourself?
Would you also mean like this? The person they hire maybe has quite a lot of clout, experience, maybe even physically older in age?
Yeah, indeed.
How do you deal with that?
I think you've got to take age out of it. When I was 25, I was managing people who were 36.
See?
And I just, it wasn't a problem for me.
No age discrimination.
No, that's right. It's not an issue. I think what a young manager needs from his, and it's a very important task for someone like yourself, Manling, as you describe yourself as for a senior, is the mentoring and coaching in order for the young manager to become a good manager. Because, you know, the problem we talked about just before the break of self-doubt, which is a problem which afflicts almost every manager, every young manager I've known, you know, you need to be there to say to the young chap, or chap-ess, you know, you don't need to doubt yourself. You're in this position because you've earned it.
This is definitely I've been doing, or I have been playing the role in front of all the young people.
Yeah.
If my knowledge is there to mentor them, I would definitely do, you know, play that role.
Yeah.
But there are people that I see that maybe same sort of seniority than I. They have grown into a stage of being very difficult. They think that I deserve much more better treatment. I deserve less job. I need to be taken care of. You know, you're not paying me enough. And you should not be burdening me. I'm old, you know. Don't expect me to do all these things for you, you know. You should actually put me on a, like, you know, on the shelf and become an antique to be collected. I mean, we can take care of things like that.
Well,
but and how a young manager, finally convince these people into, you know, willingness to contribute to the whole team.
And you've just described, Manling, you know, the
whole... They haven't retired yet. Still can work.
Right. You've just described the whole reason that recruitment companies like us are in business. Because the fact is that people who behave like that, people who will not reach out, as the Americans say, to those younger than them, who will not help and support, will do their companies a great deal of damage and harm. And actually, one of the points that I had noted down in terms of, you know, do's and don'ts for managers is, as a manager, you have to toe the company line. You know, you cannot ever talk in a disparaging way about the organization that you work for, or indeed other people within the organization, certainly at your level and rank. You know, behavior breeds behavior. People copy the behavior of their seniors.
It's like a family. You know, children will copy parents' behaviors.
Absolutely right. Wow. I absolutely agree.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a daunting task to inspire these defensive seniors, I mean.
Mm-hmm. I think it can be. Yeah.
It can be. Huh? Yeah, very difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
My goodness.
Will there ever be a time when maybe the subordinates don't really know who's really in charge? Is that ever a fear?
It's, you know, it's really interesting. We used to do a lot of work for a major US computer manufacturer mm-hmm. whose name rhymes with smell. And they used to have managing ambiguity as one of their competencies that they assessed people on.
Okay.
It's a very interesting question, Byron, because, you know, frankly, it is difficult in some companies. Mm-hmm. But I think some companies almost promote confusion and creatively. It has to be said, I think it's a very American idea.
Mm-hmm. I think two situations.
Yeah.
One is
yeah.
the personality of this new leader.
Yeah.
Some are very, in Chinese culture, we categorize a certain kind of people, which are 老好人, you know, always say yes, try to be nice,
easygoing,
everything. Difficult to say no.
Yeah.
So if this guy stood out, or she or him stood out and become a leader, it's really his job or her job to get used to his new shoes.
Yeah.
You know? You have to learn to say no.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
unreasonable yeah. requests, right?
All right?
This is one situation. The other is that he or she is not used to the new position.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with the personality thing, but it's going to, you know, take time.
And I think the other thing I'd add to that is, yeah, I think you're right. It is a question of learning. It is a question sometimes of saying no to people. The issue is how to say no.
Yes.
And not making it emotional, uh-huh. not turning it into a confrontation, being relaxed about it. That is the key to avoiding long running confrontation and confusion.
Defensive people is like that. I have a new assignment.
Yeah.
I came to Byron.
Sure.
Byron, you're defense.
Let's just say pretend.
Yeah,
okay.
Defensive. I said, Byron, tomorrow there's an interview somewhere.
Okay.
And the defensive person would say, why me?
Okay.
Why you pick me, you know, to go there?
Yeah.
So, and then if your defensiveness mm-hmm. will irritate my self-protection, why cannot I, you know, assign jobs to you because I'm the boss?
Yeah.
And then the confrontation escalated to a level. But at this situation, you know, both parties are not being reasonable.
Yeah.
How to stop this thing from happening?
If you want to win, there's a good friend of mine, Gareth, once used this expression for dealing with difficult people. And he said, kill them with kindness. Yeah, in other words, you diffuse situations by not in a disingenuous way, but showering people with be nice to them. Mm. Because often defensive people, difficult people, are that way because of, you know, they were bullied at school or there are, you know, there are other reasons. They are genuinely unhappy people in their lives. I find most happy, together, relaxed people are not defensive, are easy to get along with.
First, as a young manager, you do not become defensive yourself.
For sure.
For sure.
Exactly. You've got to keep smiling.
Yeah, can I conclude that kindness is the human nature, which is also the softest, you know, weapon.
Yeah,
to dissolve people's hostility.
That's a great way to put it.
Wow,
it dissolves
everything. People's hostility
yeah,
to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank
like
you
that.
So much. You know,
pleasure.
I learned a lot. Even
me too.
That was a conversation, and that was our career builder with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And please tune in if you're interested in career building. We have this every other week. Thank you, Robert.
That was our conversation on leadership of young managers.